It's Tom and Loggy's daily podcast.
Tom and Loggy.
Catch them live weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on K-Rock 955.
I love Tasmania. And
yeah, I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah. It's just beautiful.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
And especially, there's so much, like the animals, the flora, the fauna.
Especially if you take your own car over there and the muffler's just on the way out. So as you as you cruise around this beautiful scenery, all you can hear is tuk, 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 tuk.
Yeah, and you're in the middle of Tassie, you're like, is this where it ends? It's a great time. Real
relaxing.
It
didn't end there. That's just so you know, everything's fine.
It's fine. This is so cool. Yeah. When we were growing up, you would have heard about this in primary school. And I'm sure that a lot of kids in primary school are still finding out about this. When you learn about extinct animals and how important it is to protect the animals in our life, you would have heard about a Tassie tiger.
Yeah.
The thylacine.
Yeah. You see that grainy black and white footage of the last one in captivity or whatever? It's pacing around in the cage. Everyone's seen that, I think.
Exactly. Now, there are people that have dedicated their life to walking around Tasmania and trying to see if there's any evidence of thylacines existing.
What a tough gig. Just strolling through the wilderness. I'm sure they've, you know, they're not like going far from the beaten track because nothing is far in Tasmania. But I'm sure in one hand they have some sort of delicious cheeses.
Yeah.
And in the other hand maybe some sort of local beer or something.
Yeah.
Just and some crackers. Hello, Tassie Tiger.
No, Tassie Tiger.
Can't see one over here, guys.
That's it. They're called the Tagoa Group.
Okay.
So there is a president of the Tagoa Group. It is the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia, right?
Okay.
Now, as far as we're aware and what we know is that the last known living thylacine, a.k.a. Tassie Tiger, died in captivity in the Hobart Zoo, 1936.
Yep.
And they're normally the images that you get. Think about it. It's so important that we need to keep the endangered animals alive. You know what? I won't get bogged down in it, but you know how I feel about it.
All right. Sorry, I was just going to...
I know.
Just going to call the sea shepherd.
But you know how important it is because we've seen images of these. These animals no longer exist.
Yeah.
So what happens for our, you know, generations to come that are like, oh, elephants were a thing, but here's a grainy photo of one. No.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's important.
Yeah. Not good enough.
But I won't
get
bogged down in that because it is exciting times.
Just feels like you did get a bit bogged
down.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
A video posted by Neil, once again, the president of Tagoa, has gone viral yesterday. Here's a bit of his video.
I can tell you there's three animals. We believe that... when I say we, I mean myself and the committee of Tagoa, believe that the first image is the mum. We know the second image is the baby because it's so tiny. And the third image is the dad. And there's a little bit of a clue with the mum and the dad as to what they are with certain features of them, but they are ambiguous. However, the baby is not ambiguous. The baby has stripes, a stiff tail, the hock, the coarse hair, it's the right colour, it's a quadruped, stocky, and it's got the right shaped ears.
Amazing, because I said exactly the same thing when Indy was born. It's got the right shaped ears, it's got the hock.
Very nice. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nick has obviously taken some photos, seen these photos, gone through the SD card, right? And he's like, I've left the he's gone to canine judges, feline judges, and a vet. They've all seen the images, and they've all agreed, looking pretty close to a Tassie tiger.
Amazing.
Right now,
he's
left the images at the museum of Hobart, okay? And they are checking out the images.
Right.
So Nick Waters is his name.
Yep.
Nick Mooney is the guy at the Hobart Museum who is
two Nicks.
Two Nicks, no worries.
Classic Tasmania.
I know.
They're probably related, am I right, guys?
I know. It's Nick and this is Nick and that's Nick. But, yeah, this is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it turns out to be true, one of the biggest wildlife rediscoveries of the century.
Yeah, and would vindicate so many people because so many people for years have been like, no, they're still out there. They're still out there.
Do you know what? When we were camping on Bruny Island, right, we kept seeing this little kitten thing that would come around at night.
Yeah.
And then we thought it was a Tassie devil.
Yeah.
I think it was just a cat. But it was pretty exciting at the time when we thought we found a Tassie devil. So I can only imagine the excitement of finding a Tassie tiger.
You still got your face, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't a Tassie devil. They get pretty bitey.
Tom and Log. Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
Rihanna at 19 minutes to 9 on K-Rock 955, Tom and Loggy. That song, I just closed my eyes and I'm back on a podium in the club 2012, just screaming at the top of my lungs, just arms wide, just singing it.
And I was like that during Umbrella. You and I have Rihanna and Dancing on Tables together.
Oh, my God.
We are kindred spirits.
We should do it sometime.
Sure.
Miss the show. Here are the best bits of Tom and Loggy.
Tom and Log
on K-Rock.
A woman's gone viral on Instagram. She's over in the UK, and what she's doing is she's providing free lessons for children to help them with their maths and their English.
Okay.
Aged 5 to 16, and it's on her Insta, so she does a post, and it's a question, and then, you know, the kids answer, and then the next post. So it's a bit of fun, right?
Oh, yeah, nice.
But it also is pretty handy because it's, you know, educating the children. It's fun, but it's also informative, much like our show. So I'm going to run you through a few of the questions, multiple choice, okay?
Oh, no.
Here we go. Question number one. It takes 2 towels, 2.5 hours to dry on a washing line. How long would it take 3 towels to dry on the washing line?
7.5 hours.
Incorrect. So your options are 1.5 hours, 3 hours 45, 2.5 hours, or 1 hour 15.
Oh, no, hang on. It would take 2.5 hours because it doesn't matter on time. I should have waited for the question. It takes 2 towels, 2.5 hours. It doesn't matter how long it takes. 3 towels, 4 towels, 5 towels. They will all take 2.5 hours.
Correct, Amundo.
Yes!
Well done, mate.
Thank you. Woo!
Very clever.
I got nervous.
Okay. Question number two. The horse ran out of, like, so finish this sentence, or there's going to be a blank in this sentence.
Okay.
The horse ran out of stable. Which it's? Do you use there?
Can you? You said blank and then no blank. Hang on, what?
So the horse ran out of blank stable. The blank is an its, but which its? Is it capital ITS, lowercase ITS, IT apostrophe S, capital IT apostrophe S?
No, it is the horse ran out of its stable. Mm. It doesn't own the stable. It lives in the stable. So it's little IT-S.
Oh, okay. Well, incorrect, unfortunately.
Well, I would say if that, it is little IST apostrophe then.
Apostrophe, no.
After the T.
Apostrophe S is plural, is not ownership. ITS is the correct answer.
Whatever.
Question, this is going really well. Question number three, it takes 3 men 12 hours to build a wall. How long would it take 4 men to build a wall?
All right. Well, first, we have to settle the chat. Let's start talking about patriarchy and what it means in the current climate. Because in regards to the men, what they'll do is that they'll...
I faded you out, mate, and I'm not even going to claim that the desk did that one with the borometer. That was just me fading you out.
Yeah, okay, so 4 men. Go on.
So, 3 men, 12 hours.
Yeah.
How long would it take 4 men to build a wall? 5, 6, 9, or 16?
That doesn't make any sense. There's so many variables there.
Oh, like what the weather's like and,
no,
you know,
but also it's like, okay, well, what are the 3 men?
They're all pulling their
weight. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
It does.
No, it doesn't. If we're...
The answer's 9 hours.
Why?
Because you divide it. You divide the 12 hours by 3. It takes them 4 each, right? So you divide it by 4. It takes them 3 each.
So then it's... So why is it 9 then?
Don't question my logic.
Tom and Log. Tom and Loggy's podcast. K-Rock 955.
Let's talk bidet. I said bidet to you, good sir.
Say g'day to bidet.
Because we were talking about it at the top of the show, just kind of came up in conversation. I was talking about going to the toilet and I made a sound effect and you were like, oh, bidets. And I was like, no, I'm not talking about bidets.
Mm.
But then we realised that neither of us had ever used one because we're both too scared.
Well, yeah, and there's a multitude of reasons why we're scared. because it's like, number one, I don't actually know what I do. I back up into it. Like, what do I do? And number two, which you mentioned just before, what water is that? Is it fresh water?
It's got to be clean water from, you know, surely, the same, from the same pipes as you get your other water.
But toilet water's gross. But then I guess toilet water is fresh at some point.
You know when you go to the toilet.
Poseidon's kiss. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's different for us because, you know, you've got protection of, you know.
What? There's no protection.
Well, I mean, nothing's, you don't have any, you don't have anything that can go up.
I get it. Well, we do, but I get it. We don't need to get into.
You've got a minuscule little.
We don't need to get into the details, mate. What we need to discover is why. What and why and how?
What's the bidil with bidets?
Well done, mate. I like that one. So we can't neglect the fact that there are three types of bidet that I'm aware of anyway. There's ones that are actually mounted in the toilet.
Yeah. They look like a little camera coming up, which is weird in itself.
Yeah. And then there's the handheld little gun on a hose next to the toilet.
Yeah.
And then there's the toilet next to the toilet that's not a toilet.
All of them confuse me.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. We had Sonia from Melton give us a call, and she said that when her parents built about 30 years ago, they had one put in just for show, essentially, to look fancy.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And none of them ever knew how to use it. And in fact, they used it to wash their feet. I'm gonna assume that it was the handheld one to wash their feet, or maybe the toilet that's not a toilet, because otherwise, if it's the one that's mounted in a toilet, how are you getting your foot in the toilet?
And does the water spray up?
Yeah, it's fraught with danger because you lean too far forward and all of a sudden your foot's in the dunny, you know?
Yes. Wow.
So much we don't know about bidets.
We've got Andrew from Armstrong Creek on the phone. Andrew, are you a bidet guy?
Yeah, I've actually used one. They're not so bad.
Okay, you're in Armstrong Creek too, so you're living in a relatively new built house. Did you request to have one put in?
No. My dad had one put in his toilet. It was an insert one.
Yeah.
And the camera one, and yeah, you just pretty much sit on the toilet and press a few buttons and it does its thing, and it had a fan in it, and yeah, dried your bum and away you go.
Wow! Okay. I've got more questions, Andrew. Now, when you're sitting there, so you sit, you do your business, you relax. Do you then have to move position? Do you have to arch up? Do you move around? Like, what happens?
You sort of, you just sit on the toilet normally, and then you'll know when you're in the wrong position.
Yeah.
But, just sort of lean forward a little bit, and then, no worries.
Is the water cold?
Good question.
No, my one, you could adjust the temperature.
Yeah, right. Well, you don't want it too hot either, do you?
Yeah, because...
Nah.
Okay, another question. How does it go at cleaning?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, right.
All right. Do you have to do multiple cleans? Like with toilet paper, sometimes you look back and...
Nah, it's just... The
just
wipes.
One.
Nah, it's just obviously like a little jet and does the thing and press the fan and you dry and away you go.
Okay.
Amazing.
This is great. Okay, we're getting more people calling.
The water, you're saying?
Sorry. The water supply taps into the fitting that the toilet goes into.
Yeah.
So it's fresh water?
Yeah, it's fresh water, the same that the toilet sucks in as well.
Yeah, but it's not taking it from the bowl, it's taking it from the pipe, which is great news. Ian from Highton, but originally from the UK, where apparently they're everywhere, Ian.
Oh, they are. They're pretty common over there, or they used to be. And my grandparents used to have one. And as kids, we used to go to their house, and like the last caller said, we'd put our feet in it, fill it up. It was the best water bath in the bathroom that you could imagine.
Oh my God!
But they had one that squirted water from the middle of it up.
Oh!
It filled up on the sides, but it had a direct jet at the bottom of it. So my brothers and myself would go there. We would turn the taps to the bidet on full and see if we could get the water from the bidet hitting the ceiling of the bathroom. Because the jet was so strong that it would give your bum a good wash, but it would also almost hit the ceiling of the bathroom. No word of a lie. It was hilarious.
It sounds like a good time for all. Yeah. For those using the bidet for real purposes and those for having a bit of fun.
Oh, it was great for the kids. We used to go there and put our feet in it, fill it up, and it was a second kind of urinal if my brother was on the other one.
Oh my God!
Wow, it doesn't alleviate any of the gross feeling for me. That story.
No, so many questions. But all right, we've got to keep moving. Thank you, Ian. Carol in Armstrong Creek, have you ever owned a bidet?
I haven't owned one, but I had the pleasure of using one at a hotel in Thailand.
Oh yeah. Thoughts?
Only because I was very, very ill. Oh. And I raced to a toilet block after having some rotten coconut milk.
Oh,
and
my God.
Thankful that there was the hose type that I could use to clean up.
Okay, hang on. So you're saying that you used it to clean yourself, but also do a bit of a tidy up on the bathroom floor. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
Yee-haw! It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
Woo! So this is usually a segment where you will give us a review of a true crime doco, yep, or a podcast that you've been listening to. And I am absolutely loving seeing you take everything you've learned from these docos and these podcasts and using them.
Do you know what I've learned? People closest to you will hurt you the most.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's just a good lesson for life, isn't it?
It really is.
That's not podcast related.
People that you think that you can trust, turn out that you can't trust them at all.
Mm. And maybe your trust was misplaced in the first place.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. So I was gifted beautifully a 6-pack of Furphy beers on Friday morning.
Yeah.
And then Friday afternoon when I left work, I forgot them. Mm. And I thought, you know what? They'll be safe. They're in the studio and only announcers come in the studio. They'll be safe. They're all my friends. We're all trustworthy people. Came into work Monday morning and they were gone. Mm. There's no email. There's no note. And I feel that maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, four or five or six people have had themselves a fresh ale. A stolen ale.
On your
and stolen
dime.
Ale taste even better. Well, when they're stolen from me.
Your first mistake, mate, is assuming that workmates are real mates. So we always say your workmates aren't your real mates. So yeah. Don't even bother with that.
Well, investigations continue.
Yeah.
I'm going through everyone that worked on that weekend. Mm. Andy and Ben. Benny from mornings/afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, lunch times.
Work days.
Yeah, but isn't that not a radio term?
Nah, everyone knows what the work day is.
Do they? Yeah. Oh, okay, righto. Anyway, this guy also works here.
Yeah.
He's got a show. It's called The Departure Lounge, but he also does weekend work solo.
Yeah.
And now I want to ask him specific questions. Good morning, Josh Jeans.
Good morning, Loggy, Tom. How are we?
I'm good, mate. I don't know about Log.
How are you, Josh?
Yeah, good. I'll tell you what, I feel like you've been a bit aggressive here.
Ah, okay. It sounds like you're like breathing heavily, maybe a little bit of sweating going on. Have you got something to confess to me, Josh?
Oh, I've got nothing to confess. I'm a family man, Loggy.
A family man that needs to save money, steal some
good
things.
Good, humble Newtowner. You know, we don't do that in Newtown. We buy our own beer.
No, I believe
expensive
that.
Expensive beer.
100% I believe that.
How did you get money to go? Okay, that makes no sense.
Well, he's not earning it, that's for sure. Josh, yeah. I just have one thing I wanted to run past you.
Did you know, for sure.
So this kind of really broke on Tuesday morning because we thought we knew where they were on Monday and then we didn't realise that we properly didn't know where they were until Tuesday.
Yeah.
Did you not have a chat with me late Monday morning about what we did on the weekend? And did you not have a couple of mates come down from Melbourne on Saturday afternoon?
Correct, on Saturday. But if we go through the previous, you know, culprits that we're analysing, I'm pretty sure Ben saw them in the studio on Saturday. Yeah. I wasn't there.
Yeah, he did. But see, the thing is, Josh, is that you've been known to come in on a weekend as well and do some extra work or maybe even scope the studio for free stuff when no one's watching.
Is this why you've been so passive-aggressive lately? That you haven't done your jobs and I've had to do all your jobs for you in the afternoon?
I don't think I'm being passo at all. I think I'm being straight-up aggressive. Right. What happened to my beers, Josh?
I think you're losing it. I think you've gotten a bit older and your memory's starting to fade and you've just taken them home on a Friday.
No, I didn't.
Drugged them, obviously, and then forgotten about it.
You said to me in the studio, you're like, what are they? And I said, I got these gifted. And it had my name on it. It had a sticker saying, Two Log, you're fabulous, or something of that variety. And you're like, oh, wow, they look really tasty. And I went, yeah, they do. Thanks, Josh. That's nice.
You don't even remember what the note said. So I'm just concerned that you don't remember. Were these beers even in the studio? That's the question.
Imagine that this is the big stitch-up, the big reveal at the end is she's made a week worth of radio content out of stealing her own beers.
I didn't steal my own beers. Josh, help me out.
You're making your own podcast, are you? Is that what the True Crime podcast is about? You're the thief.
Well, you and you, Ben, have a podcast. Okay, so it's kind of like maybe you three were doing late night work. You decided, after a long day, could soothe the vocal cords with some beer. I'm going to ask you once and I'm going to ask you straight up. Josh, darling, do you know where my beers are?
No, I do not know where your beers are.
Are you sweating right now? Are you sweating?
You know what? I am actually uncomfortably nervous at the moment.
I
did not take them.
I need some help. How do we finalise this? Where are the beers? Where are they? It could only be one of you boys. Tom, you have the sneakiest little face on you.
Let's get help from a professional. Let's see if we can find out.
I'm going to the tapes. I'm checking the tapes.
We do have CCTV. Okay. You got a lot of work to do, mate. Thanks, JZ. Rock.